Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ, the man with no name. And tonight we have two very special guests with us. We have Della and Jenna. And Della and Jenna are here in response to a very specific problem that we've been receiving. Lance, how many? 200 or 300 viewer emails claiming that our show is too intellectual. It works too much at the mental level and not enough at the emotional, spiritual, artistic level. And Della and Jenna are here to change that because Della and Jenna are CMU's premier undergraduate artists.
I believe antithesis of intelligence, I guess?
Well, no, not that you're not powerfully intelligent, and I can tell that you are, but in fact, you have it's your spiritual, artistic, romantic side, which is the strongest.
Let me put it this way. Often the show is all talk and no do, right?
Okay.
And here we're trying to lay the frameworks for something that will actually get done, as opposed to our normal useless chatter.
I spend too much time up here, and I'm pointing to my cranium, and not enough time down here. And you're here.
Wait, where were you just pointing?
My left nipple, the one that's still tender. with me in the studio, of course, is my trusty and just trusty, I guess, co-host Lance, and
yes.
very special guest DJ Bel Ami.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Corey.
So Dylan, Dylan,
wait, who's this mysterious Corey?
DJ, what was I?
DJ man with no name.
So let's just jump right into it. Della and Jenna, I understand that you just won a surge grant, which I think is an excellently named item.
Do surge grants come with surge soda now?
Yeah, it helps you get all pumped for it.
That's a very CMU thing to do, right?
Yes.
Plus, I mean, I can't help but notice the sort of sexual connotation of the word surge. I mean, am I the only one?
Well, yes, but that's okay. It's all right. Yes. Basically, a surge grant for those that don't know, because I know Lance had no idea, but that's okay. It stands for Small Undergraduate Research Grant. And basically, when Jenna wrote the proposal, she was given, and we were allotted a certain amount of money to be able to write a play about women's issues. And in formulating this kind of play performance piece, we came up with sex, because that seemed like the best topic to start with. And we never got off of that topic.
You didn't
surprisingly.
Pick it just as a plot to get on the show to meet DJ the man with no name. That's usually what happens.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. I just wanted to sit down on the couch, I guess.
You were feeling that kind of special vibe between us already. I mean...
No, that was indigestion.
Well, it's true. Men, women, females, animals. I'm like a Dr. Doolittle of sexuality.
But not the Dr. Doolittle of indigestion.
I can sing, but I won't.
No.
Do you have any pets?
Not anymore.
Oh, they all died, huh?
Well, the city passed a special ordinance preventing me from owning any future pets, but that's all behind me now. So, Jenna and Della. Jella?
No, Della. Jellid? It's short for Daniela. So
oh, really?
It,
interesting.
It's truncated.
And actually, Jenna is short for Jennifer, so...
But I think DJ Man with No Name's point is well taken, that if we just had one word to refer to you both, the show would speed along much more efficiently. So,
oh,
Jella,
Jendella.
Denna.
Okay.
Thank you. I just feel so important, but anyway.
Well, I think that but combined, as you learn from collaborating with Della and Jenna... As you learn from collaborating with each other, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I mean, I'm sure each of you provided your own creativity to the work that you're about to describe.
Definitely.
Yes, it gets funny because, I mean, there are days when we can't stand each other.
Mm.
But that could just be because we've got two different ways of forming the plot, forming the whole idea behind the movement and dance part. Because we've separated it into two vignettes, so... the first one is basically a one-act play. It should span about 20 minutes. And the other part is more dance and music. So they definitely are in two different spectrums of concept art, if you will. But with Jenna, I mean, whenever Jenna would sit down, she'd be like, but my vision is this. And then I would always come out with the, but I feel very strongly that, you know. And so I would cut up whatever she's saying. And basically... We have to let things lie for a bit before we come back to them. I guess that's the biggest problem with writing about sex and writing about romance or any type of sexual identity is that you have to come back to it, or no, that wasn't the point. Basically, you have to reevaluate it every time because it's so hard to write that way. And I know Lance was kind of mentioning that before when you were talking about writing. with romance?
Well, I can certainly appreciate the creative differences. But I mean, if it were up to Lance, you know, every week on the show would be about my ass, right? I mean, it's me who has to bring in this sort of variety. Well, you know, I know, but enough's enough, right? How many times do you want to talk about someone's shaved, oiled ass? You know,
I mean, think of how many books have been written about, say, the Mona Lisa or, you know, the work of Duchamp, right? I think your ass deserves no less consideration.
Should my ass be hanging in the Louvre?
Well, I mean, I think that would impair your career as a leading research scientist, right? But perhaps for the benefit of humanity.
Keep it covered.
But so back to
back to Jandela.
So let's. I'm not sure if people have a good picture of exactly what's going on here, right?
Oh, okay.
So you guys haven't. You guys are doing a performance piece, right?
Yes.
And it's broadly about sex and relationships, right?
Yes.
And you split it into two parts. There's sort of a more traditional narrative part, and then more of a dance.
There are actually two separate, completely separate. Like one is a very plot oriented, one act play, which is 20 to 30 minutes long. And the other one is a performance piece that combines music and movement.
So do they have to be performed together to get the full synergistic effects, or are they completely independent?
They're pretty much independent.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, too.
They're going to be performed together because they're both, you know, not that long. Like, they're both. The performance piece will probably be a little longer, but together they'll probably be, like, an hour to an hour and a half long. So.
Yeah, I think the problem is the subject matter. Because you can't really tackle every woman's issue that exists in the course of some, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And so we sat, I remember when we first started to get our ideas together, we just basically took every subject we could possibly think related to women predominantly and thought if it was a good topic or not and just kind of went from there. We're trying to, I guess, give off the feeling of what girls our own age, which is like, junior, sophomore in college, what they're facing.
In college or even graduate students, because we've definitely talked to people that are older than us, and we've been through the high school years, and just like, I guess the general 16 to like 25 range.
It's a pretty big range, but...
And you were able to cover all that in 30 minutes?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Not at all. Oh, I'm sorry, Jenna.
It's all right.
Contradict you.
Is this one of those days where you're just not getting along?
Actually, oh, no, we actually get along very well. We just, I mean...
Wait. How well, exactly?
We're very...
Are you very close?
No, not that close. But,
My producer is telepathically telling me that you need to speak straight into the microphone and stop spinning your head around like some kind of Linda Blair wannabe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was critical.
It's okay.
but no, please share your thoughts, but share them. Without moving ahead.
So I think our audience has two questions. First, is there a role for DJ the Man with No Name in this production?
I mean, I'm not actually female per se.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
and second question related to that is, you talked a lot about women's issues, so is this something that men aren't going to be interested in, or will they only be interested in it to sort of understand their enemy better?
I think they will definitely be interested in it because women's issues, you can't discuss women just issues and present them without having men involved in them, because men and women are just, they fit.
Two sides of the same coin.
What about some sort of separatist lesbian agenda?
Well, speaking, never mind. That's what makes it,
let's go down that road.
No, we shall, because that's what one of the funnier parts of our, of Jenna and I trying to write is that I'm a lesbian, Jenna is very straight, and so whenever we go to, bring forth some kind of dialogue, I'm always just cutting up whatever she wants the guy to say. I'm like, oh, no. You know, so I will rip it to shreds, and then Jenna will be like, no, that's really what guys say. And I'm like, no.
So it's a deeper conflict than Jenna wanting the character to say, boy, that Matt Damon is cute.
Yes.
And you scoffing at that.
Well, I am so cynical. It's pretty sad.
Can you give us an example?
Kind of cynical. So.
Oh, an example.
What? And along with that, while you're gonna, I think maybe a good way for you to subvert her process is to, like, include the male characters but have them say really bad things so that no one could actually ever admire them. Right?
But that's the problem, because I am definitely not of the opinion that men are bad. Or I mean, I have a lot of good friends. My biggest role model is my father. I mean, I would not say that I am a lesbian separatist. Maybe I'm lonely, but that wouldn't make me a separatist. Now, would it?
We hope not.
To get on with your point about wanting to know if you had a role. We haven't built the set yet, so yeah. I guess, I mean, if you want to be a door or a, a table, we could work you in.
I am outraged. Is that really the best thing you can think of for our...
Do you have to be an inanimate object?
Yeah, yeah. Like, can he not speak or can he not have feelings or can he not come and drag?
What if we were a sand and a well-oiled table?
A well-oiled, yes. Hmm.
That's right. Is there a role for some sort of disembodied ass?
Well, we could, if we made you a chair and then had a co-star that was very attractive, would you oppose that role?
No, that would work for me on multiple levels.
Yes. And we do have a couple. There's sex scenes, but we're trying not to have to worry about that on campus. In public, so
wait, that means you're not actually going to have them go in public?
We're the whole graphic issue, as far as how graphic we can be, is something that we definitely have to think about and discuss.
Well,
yes. Anyway,
let's discuss it now.
Well, yeah, because basically, a primary focus of the first vignette, the one act, which is the thing that is most finished, then, as opposed to the music and the dance, because I can't dance, so I can't dominate that part of the performance. Anyway, but we were talking about casual sex as being a big problem, I think, for people our age and our age group, because just dealing with how much of yourself you want to give to a relationship, how much you want to dedicate to the other person versus keeping your own identity, developing yourself as, an artist, as, a writer, as a programmer, whatever field you choose to pursue.
But we're a long way from casual sex now. If we've gotten to
exactly my point. Yes. Yeah, there is no
swinging right back.
She's getting there.
My point is that casual sex is a big problem. Obviously, I'm not saying anything new. If you want to have some kind of long-term relationship, and if you don't, it's not a problem. But you have to make sure that two people are on the same page, and I think that that differs between the sexes. So I think that's something that has to be addressed.
So you're saying for lesbians it's not a problem then?
Oh, I'm saying it's definitely a problem for lesbians. I think, I can't have an opinion because I'm not straight, so I don't know if it's harder for heterosexuals than it is for lesbians.
Clearly, you can watch your straight friends suffer.
Yes.
And enjoy every moment of it.
We actually conducted a survey on sex, which we're probably going to do again. So far, we interviewed about 100 people on campus.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Well, we lured them with cookies and candy.
Yes. Actually, we yelled, "Sex, candy, come and get it. You know you want to." So that was helpful getting people to fill out the surveys.
Well, yeah, it was kind of amusing because at the time where we had our table, I guess the freshman architecture class must have just let out because we got all of these little architecture kids.
It was great.
They came and they're like, "Oh, food." And so they came and took whatever they wanted and filled out all these forms. Well, what I found out of the 100 surveys we got back that 12 of the individuals were girls and considered themselves either bisexual or lesbian. And this just seemed really odd to me because...
Like all 12? You 100% hit rate on...
No, out of the 100... There were 12 girls that considered themselves bisexual.
So how many girls were there out of the 100?
I think that was a good, 40% out of the...
So we're looking at a third of the women who turned in surveys.
Yes. Right, which is far more than I had ever even considered. So, I mean, that just kind of gives you an idea of how off we were. And I'm from your reaction, DJ, man with no name.
Well, being homosexual, the mysteries of women continue to surprise and mystify.
Well, they kind of mystify me too, I guess.
We've got to put our head.
Still stuck on the fact that all these people are architects.
Well, yeah, that was kind of funny. They had all these clipboards. I mean, maybe they were just.
So is the architecture school really the hotbed? That's the core of bisexuality.
Well, of course not. I mean,
we call it
a tiny
sexture.
Really, that's wonderful. having had the horror of taking stats 1, 2, and now in 309, I you can't base it on just what we saw, the 100 people that we were surveyed, because
they might have been drawn to your fabulous lesbiosity. All right, I mean, you might have been self-selected.
It's possible. I do have that problem. no, I don't. I'm just kidding. So, because we just noticed there were a lot of architecture kids. That's about it. Okay.
I mean, you weren't, like, winking at the hot chicks and, like, sucking them in more than, like, the skanky kids.
I don't think sucking had anything to do with the situation, quite frankly.
I think also the time of day probably would have... It was, I think, a Friday,
kind of a lesbian
Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday in the afternoon. And it was in front of the university center. So... We actually wanted to begin in front of Ween.
Because we thought we could get the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some things man wasn't really meant to know. And I think the sexual habits of the average Ween dweller is one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us the story of your 30-minute play?
We can...
Let's press, I'm sorry, 621-9728 if you're trying to call in and can't because you don't know the number.
Oh, my God.
621-9728. We have phones. We'd like to use them.
We've been so negligent.
If you have a question for Jandela... Please call in. 621-9728. If you're on campus and can't dial all seven numbers, you can just dial 89728. I'm sorry. Proceed.
No, that was excellent. Thank you.
So, our plot.
I don't want to tell the whole plot because we'll have to do all...
You don't have to tell the whole plot, but sell it to us, right? Like,
you certainly don't want to give away the surprise.
Give us the pitch. Yeah, give us the pitch. Say that DJ Bonamy is a movie producer and you're trying to get a movie made. And that movie is this one-act play, right? Pitch it to him.
Homie G, go ahead.
All right, so you have this girl, Leah, and she is in this relationship with this guy, Sam. And Sam and Leah meet, and they are getting along pretty well. They meet through their friend, Kevin, who is actually never really in the play. And they... you know, sort of are in this relationship. They're probably having sex. And Sam deceives Leah a little bit. And it turns out that Kevin, the friend that they met through, really likes Leah. And Sam sort of never told Leah this. So their relationship is off to a bad start because it sort of started on a lie. And then Leah is mad at Sam. This is like the simplified version of it. She meets Emmy at her workplace, and she sort of ends up having a little fling with Emmy, except for her, she thought that it would be more than just a fling, and she starts questioning her sexuality. On top of this is the fact that Leah's father is cheating on her mother, she thinks, and Emmy's father, who we don't find out until the very end, I'm just pretty much giving the whole plot here.
That's okay. We'll
is,
before the show happens. Yes,
so
no one will know what it's
so it'll be a surprise. Is Emmy's father is the boss at this place that Emmy, Sam, and Leah are all working at. And we don't find this out to the end because the whole time Emmy is talking about her father, she's basically saying that her father is just the biggest, you know, bleep bleep. And so we're just very surprised.
Wait, let's go back. Was the bleep bleep like a reference to Herbie the Love Bug, or was it supposed to imply that he's not a nice person?
He's not a nice person.
Mm. See, and you don't think DJ Man with No Name?
I could play that.
Yeah,
brilliantly.
He's been a father figure to many people on this campus.
Right.
So are all these various acts of infidelity and deception going to be reenacted live on stage, or is it going to be a normal play?
A normal play?
Well, I mean, normal, like, clean, yeah, in the PG-13.
Yeah,
I don't think
people talking
PG-13.
About things that happened off stage.
Because I have seen shows where there was outright nudity.
Indeed.
Yeah. Like, in the drama department, I saw 6 Degrees of Separation, I think my freshman year. It was great. Not because there was nudity, but...
Exactly how much, I mean, nudity?
It was full-body nudity. Like, well, but this is a search grant, and... So I'm sure, like, it's a little different, and we definitely have to think about that.
We should
think about that.
Probably figure that
out. Yeah, we should figure that out before we, like, broadcast.
It is research, right? So is the implication that you want to be on the cutting edge because you want to find out new things, like the average CMU undergraduate's reaction to simulated sex acts on stage, right?
Mm. Well, yeah, I think the reactions of the student body would be helpful.
Yes, definitely.
I think more of it has been, for our research, has been interacting with people, doing these surveys, also constantly kind of feeling people out for how they're doing in their relationships. And I've had the fortune or misfortune of being in the middle of a lot of weird situations with my best friends who are dating each other and going through horrible fights, et cetera, et cetera. And just kind of getting an idea of how infidelity works with them and how it doesn't work. And those types of scenarios, because I've kind of ended up being the Dear Abby of
Well, that seemed like an excellent experience to write a play about infidelity. But back to the play, it seems like you're trying to... It sounds very much like a soap opera. It sounds like you're trying to piggyback on traditional soap opera structures.
Don't say that.
Well, no. You can reference a form of culture that you don't sort of find particularly interesting and use it to say something... And sort of skew it in a way so that it says something new, right?
Yeah. I think it's just the way I explain it. It sounds like a soap opera.
You do need more of a catchy capsule. I was thinking sort of like, Mary Riley meets Days of Our Lives.
Kind of. That would be catchy, I guess.
And the other thing I wanted to address is, I pray to God every moment of my existence that you're not trying to tone this down because of some sense that you'll get in trouble or that it won't be appropriate for the community. Let your sexual vision shine through.
They are doing that, though, because they're not, they're talking about toning down the actual sexual content of the play, right?
Well, why? Please, the shield of academic freedom.
I think they're afraid of the man.
The man, yeah.
Which man?
What man? The man with the powers.
The man who's going to say no bestiality on stage on this campus, right?
Is there such a...
I have a feeling if there was bestiality on campus, on stage on this campus, the man would come and say something about it.
Well, we hadn't thought about putting pets into the storyline, but thank you. I think I might think about that more.
I did not introduce bestiality into the conversation. Thank Lance. No, but I'm serious about this other thing. I mean, if you have a genuine artistic vision, I don't think the campus or whoever you're, Dean Murphy, I don't know who you're referring to, but I don't think they have any right to suppress your vision, and I don't think they could. Right?
Well, I mean, I think that it's what we end up performing will be the product of our own inhibitions and our own limits that we put on ourselves and what we want to present. I think that having a situation where there is some lesbian activity, drama in there, there's some heterosexual drama, there's infidelity, I think that we bring out a lot of different points, especially...
Casual sex, definitely.
Right, that women our age are going through. It's been my experience, and of course it's skewed because I am gay, but it's been my experience that a lot of my friends have gone through these situations where they're trying to discover exactly where they fit in sexually. They'll be dating a guy for, 6 months or so, and they're fooling around with their best friend, who's a girl, and they don't see that as being unfaithful, and they see it as, yes, they love their boyfriend, and it turns them on when I, things like that. So that's one definition, and then you could look at another definition where that situation is totally different, and it's a non-monogamous two relationships going on at once, one with a best friend, one with a guy. So, I mean, if you look at that, I guess you have to kind of consider different definitions for each person.
So what I'm getting out of this is that your vision isn't so much about graphic hot sex action. It's about bringing different viewpoints.
Well, right. For example, the whole viewpoint on casual sex, is it right? Is it wrong? What exactly constitutes casual sex? Stuff like that, one of our main characters, Emmy, in this play is, obviously Emmy and Leah sort of get it on, and then nothing happens after that, and Emmy just says, bye, see you later.
You mean the man can't perform?
What?
You mean it? When you say nothing happens, what exactly do you mean?
Emmy stands for Emily.
Yes.
Did you get
these are two
that?
Women.
Sorry. You're
marginalizing all of us.
So there's both. There's a male-female action and female-female action.
I noticed there's no three-way gay male action. Is that a deliberate artistic choice?
Well, seeing how the Surge Grant was for women's issues, yes. I don't see how three men...
Well, maybe if a woman watched. How can you say that? It totally excludes women.
I know.
I mean, it defines a woman's issue by defining the negative space.
Oh, I see.
Surrounding the issue.
How much space were you talking about?
Well,
all the negative space.
Okay.
Well, I guess we could make the pets female and that would all work out.
Someone here has an obsession with animals and it's not me. I just want to be clear on that.
I think men are starting to sound underrepresented in this show. Starting to feel marginalized.
Oh, I see. Okay, well then, if we can get most of the guys sitting in the audience, would that even it out?
I think just the idea of hot, like girl-on-girl action is enough to get guys.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, but then I thought maybe I shouldn't.
Because we don't want to scare away our audition.
Nor do we want to cheapen your vision here. 621-9728.
So the thing that intrigues me is this idea of dance. So I understand how traditional narrative forms speak directly to sexual experience, right? But the mapping from dance onto relationship and sex is somewhat less direct for somebody like me.
Well, you know what they say about people that can dance really well. I mean, obviously they're good in bed.
They're either gay or black.
No. I mean, like, you kind of can get the gist of...
Was that racist? I mean, it's true. I mean, like, it's like the white...
Well, you're just describing what other people say.
I'm sorry, please.
Oh, I was just thinking, I mean, if someone can dance very well, if they can move well, they're often good in bed, so there's a good correlation there.
It's the whole flexibility thing.
Was this one of the questions that you asked on your survey of the architecture students?
Well, in order to do that, we'd have to have a longitudinal study, I guess. Over time, we'd have to see if they were good in bed and if that improved as their dancing skills increased.
Ooh. Intriguing.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Either that.
If this show had a budget for research grants, we'd give you a grant right now to do that.
But I'd like to ask a question about the dance. I mean, you're not. We seem to have taken some kind of tangent here. I mean, you weren't talking about people's dancing skills, but you actually have a dance component. I mean, you're presumably talking about artistic dance, not.
We're not talking about just dance as practice for sex. But we're actually talking about dance as communication.
Dance and music.
In the dance component of your skit, what's that going to be like? I mean. You're going to have dancers, I presume, like, is there some kind of representation thing? Is it, like, condoms wrapped?
No.
Going into, like,
yeah, it's the flying
vaginas
condom,
or what?
No.
Well, that's kind of where Jenna is able to express herself more fully. As I said before, now I can't say that, because if I said I can't dance, and that would suggest my, never mind,
That's okay, there are other
maybe
ways.
Maybe I can dance, maybe I can't.
Dance. I'm sure
okay,
can dance.
Go ahead, Jenna, I mean.
All right, so the music part is also very integrated into the dance. It's just basically movement. We're not doing, like, a representation of a condom, although that would be fun.
That could be your part.
Yes. You'd be the condom. That'd be fun.
I mean, as long as it sort of hooks me up with the hottie CFA guys, I'm willing to degrade myself, you know, whatever it takes, pretty much.
Excellent.
But, so it's... It's probably going to be, like, modern or contemporary dance, maybe a little tap dancing, just using it as a way to express emotion.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yes.
I just have a problem with tap dancing. I see these sequins and these really short
shorts,
and it scares me so much, so I kind of let Jenna take that away.
The whole, it does have kind of, the whole Sammy Davis tragedy just comes
yes.
immediately back to my mind.
And, like, little Shirley Temple or something like that.
The thing about dance that I have a problem with, quite seriously, is sort of getting it. It's not very, how are you going to make this topic approachable? If I watch all these people kind of dancing on stage, how am I going to figure out that they're talking about the emotions that you're trying to express? I mean... Is there...
Well, there will also be voicings and music,
really?
And I think the music will really help as well to portray what we want to portray.
So what sort of music? I mean, there's a lot of ways you go with this. You go for soft romantic strings. You could go for, like, slap-based 70s porn, right? Like, what's the...
Yeah, slap-based 70s porn, of course. No, we're... Everything... Adele is gonna slap me.
Slap-based 70s porn?
No, slap-based. It's a way of playing bass.
Oh.
Found in, like, funk music a lot, so.
Well, all the music is gonna be original, and we are writing it now.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Starting to...
Yeah, it's got this weird Ira George Gershwin attitude where...
That's what she says. I don't think so, though, because that's only part of it so far. It's going to be all over the place. I wanted to introduce some techno stuff and electronica.
Kind of a hard driving rhythmic beat.
But I don't know a lot about that. So if anybody out there does,
well, this station is probably the biggest concentration of techno talent.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard on occasion. I think that the greatest thing about having a Surge Grant to write a play, and please agree or disagree with me, is that we get the opportunity to workshop a lot of different
ideas,
and the student body that is going to be helping us along as actors, as dancers, as singers, we definitely encourage them to teach us as much as we're trying to pull from them what we see as being the end product. And we auditioned a young lady this evening who has had extensive dance background, and that is exactly, you know, that's a great idea to be able to have someone that has that kind of resource, because we don't pretend to know everything that there is to know about writing, about dancing, about singing, but the energy that we are putting forth hopefully will bear good fruit. And I guess that's what we're hoping for and what we've already begun to see in what we've been writing. And as we keep critiquing ourselves, we're getting better and better in each of our script rewrites. So,
I should point out now that Del and Jenna actually aren't here out of the goodness of their hearts. They actually have an ulterior motive for coming on the show.
It's not just to be with me for an hour.
Well, I don't think they realize that until after they actually met you.
Yeah, usually people on a conscious level don't quite realize what motivates them. What's their first level ulterior motive?
Well, so we've talked about this piece they're working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the real motive is they need people to help, or they're looking for people to help them out with it. They're looking to audition people, right?
Yes.
And the kind of people, talented dancers, actors,
singers,
sex talk show hosts.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
if you're interested in one of the three or two of the three or all of them, that'd be great.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what the three were for a second, but then
talk
I
show hosts?
Singing, acting, and dancing.
Wait, did you just say sexcellent?
Of course. I think your brain is a little too much there right now.
Wait, you think I'm thinking about sex too much while I'm being the host of a sex
show? Is that like a bad thing to say?
Well, it is a slight critique against his hosting style, but we respect our guests' opinions.
Right.
I mean, I did have Lance surgically altered in order to be a little bit more sexual. I mean, I actually removed the inhibitory areas of his brain. So I can't
read anymore. Right? That's the biggest problem.
If he's this way, it's not his own fault.
So how do people get in contact with you then, if they're interested in participating?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We are having auditions for the dance part Wednesday. That's tomorrow at 10 p.m. in the Adamson Wing, which is in Baker Hall. And we're having acting and singing auditions this Thursday from 9:30 to 11:30 in Porter Hall A18A, which is downstairs in Porter Hall. And if they can make any of these times and they want to audition or they have any questions whatsoever, they can contact myself, Jenna, or Della at womanplus@andrew.cmu.edu.
Yes, womanplus@andrew.cmu.edu is the email for the Women's Center. And
we should point out that's actually a plus sign, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's not women plus two words combined.
And it's women, women spelled the sort of classic W-O-M-E-N way. There's no Y.
No Y.
Okay. W-O-M-E-N.
Do people need to prepare? Do the dancers have to bring their tap shoes?
No.
Toe shoes?
No. Just be prepared to move.
Okay. And the actors don't need to bring monologues or commercials to read?
We suggest that you bring a monologue or a song, but you don't have to. If you don't have time to prepare something, we'll definitely find something for you to read.
Yeah, I had someone read the Crime and Incident Report the other week, and that was amusing
for me. It was pretty good, actually.
Anyway.
Crime and Incident Report.
Did they get the part?
Excuse me?
Did they get the part?
I'm not going to tell them, because they'll know who it is, and then that wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
The Women's Center, which is where your email will be directed, is something that I am closely affiliated with, as is Jenna. And basically, the center is kind of, has, I guess, what would be the right word? It has come into its own again.
Yes, it's the new Women's Center.
It's had a resurgence.
As we like to say.
Oh, surge. We're back to surge again.
Yeah, oh, dear. Love that word.
It has had a resurgence. We've had a whole bunch of new members, myself included. I can remember in years gone by that I didn't really, wasn't an active member in. Now, I mean, just recently, we enjoyed our first open mic there on Friday. We had a lot of attendance.
Really?
Yeah, we made more money than we thought we would. We had about, what would you say, 60?
Probably 60.
70 people at the center.
And how does money come? What kind of open mic?
Open mic is in poetry? Musical, poetry,
singing.
And the money comes from, comedy. Like, people throw money at the...
Oh, yeah, what we would find in our in our clothes at the end of the night.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. Right. Well, we had a small admission price, and it was all the free food and coffee and cider you wanted. It worked really well. Also, the Women's Center is kind of trying to attract more people than different types of people, just your regular heterosexuals. There's been a lot of... It's funny, when people have first come into the center, they'll ask me if everyone's a lesbian there. And it's amusing just because I am the only one that's affiliated with the Women's Center, and so I...
You're the only lesbian.
Yeah, I'm the only lesbian. So that's definitely not true. And also the thing about men not being involved, we were talking about this earlier, and about 40% of the people that come to the regular meetings are guys.
So what makes it the Women's Center, not just the center?
Well, it's the focus. The issues... Obviously, pregnancy, birth control would pregnancy would relate more to women than to men. I think that's a fair assumption. Also, things along the lines of lesbianism would relate more to women. We also have a lot of information on
you'd be
female
surprised.
Group. Oh, that's true.
Sure,
I keep forgetting.
Interested in that. But.
Yeah, just female histories of the women's movement, feminism in general. Those types of. That subject matter pertains more to women than to men. It's called the Women's Center because it's a place where women can go and get the information that they need without bothering psych services or health services. Kind of offers a bit more of a sensitive area to go.
And again, if people are interested in learning more, they can email, at women plus sign, so women plus at.
Well, I feel I felt compelled to defend my friends at sex services. It's not that it's more sensitive. It's just it's more of a peer-oriented
Well,
vibe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Thank you. Please. I was trying to think of the right word.
What exactly does sex services mean?
the sex... Well,
it's probably not as good as it sounds.
The little-known CMU sex services... I'm sorry. I was going to go off on this tangent, but this guy looking in our window is kind of disturbing me.
Uh-oh. They're related to me.
Someone
they're my friends.
Security
I'm sorry.
Stalkers. Do you want to let them in, or are they just going to like keep bugging me?
Oh, they'll talk too much about sex.
All right.
Yeah,
maybe next week. So the Women's Center, fabulous place, whatever. But, Jandela, we're here to talk about your work, your art.
Well, another thing we're working on, which the Women's Center is actually helping with, but it's something that I guess I started last year, at this campus, the Vagina Monologues. Yes,
that's right.
I said the Vagina Monologues. And
you started that?
I didn't start. Like, there was this whole college-wide initiative that started last year where colleges all across the country would produce the monologues. And I read this email off of some B-board, and I just emailed the person who was in charge of the college-wide initiative and said, I want to do this. So she sent me all the information, and I ended up saying vagina, like, 5 times a day for the next like, 3 months or 2 months. And
you
going
mean
up
as
to
just
everyone,
yourself or,
just,
like,
no.
It just came up because you were talking about doing this?
Some kind of weird mantra, I guess.
Yes. It was like, you want to do a vagina monologue because you like the word vagina, and, you know, et cetera,
Jenna, you should explore that on your own.
Okay.
No, this show is the perfect forum for this.
Well, okay. No, it's just to get people to be involved in the monologues.
This is like some kind of vagina cult that you're trying to get people to join? Or
no.
The Vagina Monologues were written by a woman by the name of Eve Ensler. They are...
Eve. Actually, it's sort of disappointing that she's not named Lilith, right? That would be more like... Anyway,
oh,
proceed.
God,
I mean, so
she actually won
accurate.
An Obie for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Obie is like the
Obie
National
Award?
Lesbian Vagina
no,
Award.
No, as what? In the, I think it's an off-Broadway
It's a very prestigious theater award.
Oh,
actually.
I see.
Yes.
As, yeah.
So it's a piece of work. It's a play?
Yes, right. Yeah.
No, they're monologues.
It's monologues.
Which would be...
I don't know what a monologue is.
Mono, one.
Log.
So.
Penis.
Similar, yet
story.
Very, very different. So it's basically a monologue is when one person stands up and...
Okay, I'm with you. I'm totally on the same page.
All right. They are, what are they, about 17?
About 17.
Mark my ignorance again and I'll destroy you, by the way.
Is this the way, is this the respect we show for our guests, DJ?
I'm very insulted.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay. Woman, OB, monologue, up on stage, continue.
Yeah. 17.
And they're about...
17 of them.
They're about women and their, how they think about their vaginas, their bodies, just dealing with relationships involving vaginas.
So they're not all specifically about vaginas.
Well,
vagina is sort of a stand-in for sort of some very specific female issues, right? A whole complex of things.
But vagina is actually mentioned at least once in every single one.
I mean, is it often obligatory, as in, like, I have to mention and say the word vagina before
actually,
I start talking about my dog?
The monologue I did last
I'm sorry.
For those of you listening who are wondering what we just said, you'll never know.
I'm sorry.
For those of you listeners who are wondering what we just said, you'll never know because it's been beeped out.
I'm so sorry.
You know, Janelle, any more of this trash talking?
We had talked about the words I couldn't say. I didn't know that was one of them.
I had a
I apologize. well, I guess if you want to know what it is, you have to come.
You have to come to monologues. February 14th at 6 p.m. in the Economy Auditorium.
Okay, okay, but the thing that I didn't understand was, like, it seemed like... It's not like you get women to, like, free associate about their own vaginas. This is someone that some fabulous writer has written and people perform.
She interviewed over 200 women from all over the world about their vaginas.
So was this a work of nonfiction, or did she just sort of use that as inspiration?
She must have, because there's only 17. She must have distilled the experiences of these
200
women.
Well, she could have thrown away 183 of the women as being irritating and boring.
That will progress the women's movement so much, throwing out 183 women. Yeah. But
every person has a story, but some people's stories are a lot more interesting than others.
Yeah, it ranges.
She definitely couldn't have 200 monologues, so she had to just pick the ones she thought would be the most intriguing. And
you can have 33 short films about Glenn Gould, right? So I don't see why.
Yeah, you could have had 200 monologues.
She could have just thrown out the 183 that didn't contain the word
vagina.
Oh, can we say that word?
Yeah.
We've been saying that for a while, and it's only when I started speaking that it was not valid.
I've just been hearing beeps. Maybe it's just me.
Oh, really?
In my ears.
Oh, dear. Well, we also were trying to incorporate our own monologues into that. We were thinking about maybe having different members of our student body writing monologues that would either be performed by themselves on the same evening or performed by somebody else if they feel comfortable reading them. Which also brings us to the point of having men write monologues as well. Their experiences with vaginas, which I think would be interesting.
Or what about like a sort of counterpoint, like the penis monologue sort of alternating between men talking about their penises? I mean, I know that, you know, in standard...
Well, normally, most conversations go back to my friend's penises, and I don't need any more of that.
Really? I think you and I need to swap friends, because I think we'd both be better off, actually.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, we should.
You can talk after the show.
Sorry, there's more chaos, I think, outside the studio. I think the Y2K bug has kicked in a little bit early.
I have just, just several small cans of peas. That's my Y2K stash. It's just what I need.
Peas or pee?
Pee.
Excellent.
So, if there's one word that I would use to describe you, Jandela, it would be creativity. I mean, you ooze breakthrough art and creativity from every pore, and I salute you for that. The question I have is, and Lance will provide that question for me,
how does this creativity influence your everyday life as an undergrad student and your actual practice as a sexual being as an undergrad?
Hell.
Actually, it can be very frustrating because you have all this creativity. Now I'm being really serious, and you walk around and you're like, God, I'm not creative enough today, and you just want to shoot yourself or something.
Or I want to shoot you. It's one.
Yeah.
It's one of the.
Or I want to shoot you. So, either way. But
never. I want to shoot the dean, or I want to shoot all of everyone who's in the CFA building right now.
It's never like to shoot anyone. Directed. I don't. No.
Except for Jenna.
No. Or Della.
Okay.
No, but.
So after this surge, I mean, so you're working on the surge thing. It's probably already getting kind of annoying because you probably just want to finish it and move on to your next.
Actually, that's not true at all. We're very excited about it.
Oh, really?
Because we haven't even started the rehearsal process yet. So, and because it's going to be a workshop setting, we're just, it'll be constantly changing until it's like this wonderful, hopefully.
So I have an idea here. Tell me if this is going to work with your system or not. Like, what if I joined you at your rehearsals and you just, and I had, like, the actors you didn't want, I took to my own special audition chamber and did my own. We wouldn't let them know that this was, I mean, like, you know, let them have hope, but it's like, you know,
legal
now, you know.
Issues. I don't know.
Spread your ass cheeks, show me your, you know. Yeah. Shave your scrotum, whatever. I think it would be part of the creative process, and if you went along with it, it would give it a lot of legitimacy.
Well, you'd have to write the actual one-act play that this that then encompasses this, right?
Well,
yes and no. If it were the dance number, if it were the dance number, you really wouldn't have to worry about that. Because when we began to write the play version or the vignette, the dialogue, whatever. No, it's dialogue now. So we're back to the actual Surge project, or something, for Valentine's Day. The Surge grant is something else. It all, the storyline kind of stemmed from personal experience.
Kind of? Well, okay, it did.
I was trying to get back at an ex, and so I decided to write this story where I made the character very, very, mean.
Wait, so this vignette has grown out of hatred and desire for revenge? Is that what you're talking
about? No, well, maybe, but then I was there, and I'm much nicer than Della is. So you transmuted it into a worthwhile creation. We started talking about these issues, and we just decided this would be a great thing to be part of, to use this as part of our piece to create a one-act play. Because originally we were just going to do maybe just a performance piece, but with music and movement. But the great thing about the one-act play is just because we're getting at these issues that everybody deals with, and we're trying to present them in a way that isn't, like, so trite.
Yeah, the basic storyline that we had begun with was me complaining to Jenna for way too long, and her realizing that, yes, my life is basically a bad soap opera. So then we took little bits of reality, of life stories, of her life, my life, put them all together, and then added some little loops to connect them. So I guess that's what everybody's, you know, writing process kind of involves.
And so when will this be performed? When will we get to experience the finished product?
Probably the first or second week in March. Mm-hmm. We can definitely give you an update when it gets closer to that time.
That's a lot of rehearsals, right?
Well, rehearsals will probably be about 2 or 3 nights a week for 2 to 3 hours a night so that people can still be involved with other things, because we both are involved with other things, and, like, we're doing 2 plays. We're a little crazy. Oh, well.
Wait, you're doing another play?
We're doing the Vagina Monologues.
Oh, okay.
With help from people, which is great. And we're also doing the Surge Grant. Plus, we have classes and, you know, all that stuff.
So how do you motivate people to do this? I mean, this is a pretty big time commitment. Do you give them money?
Well, actually, the time commitment is less because we're doing 2 vignettes as opposed to 1 long show. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, having only, you know, the script will be minimal, so memorization will be easy enough. Basically, hopefully.
Well, yeah,
anyway,
it will be.
Well, basically to kind of encourage people to be a part of it, just talking to us, making them realize that they're every bit of part of the script as we are writing it.
I'd like to take issue with that question because it's sort of cynical, right, implying that people wouldn't want to be part of this great creative thing unless there was some sort of
incentive. Well, indeed. I'm nothing not a problem with this, but, yeah, there must be, I mean, the CFA kids are all really busy, and it must be hard to convince them that your thing is the key way that they should spend
their
semester.
We don't necessarily want CFA members. I mean, that's not the point. I am an H&SS student. I'm a psych and English double major. Most of the people that can be involved, most of the people that are creative and all that are not CFA members, so, I mean, it doesn't, you're not precluded from being talented if you're.
We're just seeking people who, whether CFA, BHA, or CS, are interested in singing, dancing, or acting and really want to be involved in something original and something new.
I noticed you said CS.
Yeah, why not?
I'm actually a
yeah. Usually
of
people don't think
CS
department creative, right?
And so maybe what, I mean, I know you've been hinting all show, but maybe it really is time to make our relationship, you know, concrete and just sign me on.
Excellent.
All right. That's it.
So we only have a few seconds remaining, and in those few seconds, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you demonstrate your psychic abilities by briefly predicting the future? What color are my underwear?
Are your underwear?
Well,
are you wearing underwear?
Yes. Beautiful. Brilliant.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Amazing.
Wow, somebody actually figured it out. You're dumbfounded now, aren't you?
I am. I'm impressed. I never believed in psychic powers until now. We are out of time. Thank you so much, Jenna and Della, for joining us at DJ Bell Ami, DJ Lance. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Good night.